Part 1, Chapter 2, Christ, the Universal Source of Light and Power. A new human race has been born in this world. A new people is emerging, the promised people, the people of the Lord, the people of God. When reading world literature, you find many references to the advent of this glorious, countless multitude. Owing to your dialectical state of being, when hearing this prophecy, however, you inevitably imbibe with all your senses the delusion that this advent of the people of God refers to the regathering of the old Semitic root race on the shores of the Mediterranean, or your attention is directed to the British Israel movement, which contends that the Anglo-Saxon race is the people of the Lord. When the poets sing, "He will gather his people from the farthest parts of the earth," you should not believe that these songs refer to occult or ethnological developments, but understand them in an entirely new sense. These ancient prophecies announce the extraordinary and wonderful manifestation of an entirely new, non-dialectical type of man in this dialectical world, a group of people which, not merely in a mystical sense, but also structurally, biologically, and thus physically, is in this world but not of it. The prophesying stage with reference to this happening has now come to an end as we have entered the period of a more or less extensive realization. This is why the spiritual school no longer speaks in an introductory sense, but must now explain the course of these events, so you can take into account all relevant factors and integrate them into your life. This is how you should understand marching into the promised land. It does not mean you should change your place of residence, but that you prepare to form part of the new group of men. You will thus understand that there is much to discuss, consider, and carefully study. First of all, we have to broach an old subject discussed at length in our ranks by stating that Christ is not a hierophant of majestic stature residing somewhere outside the gross material world, but is first of all an impersonal, limitless being manifesting himself as light, as power, as a mighty radiation field. This radiation field of Christ, which has appeared among us, giving no rest or peace to this dark world order, exerts a great influence, or rather whole series of influences. Modern man is well aware of the fact that radiation invisible to the eye can exert such a great influence, as people of our time are acquainted with their manifold applications in various fields. In the medical world, in military technology, and in many laboratories, experiments are now being conducted with invisible rays. There is radiation that has a detaching effect, and there is radiation that might be indicated as drawing or attracting. The first group is called ultraviolet, and the second, infrared. The radiation field of Christ, being complete in itself, contains a complete spectrum, and can hence be envisaged as a sun, an invisible solar body, the radiation and influences of which must be both attracting and detaching. The following explanation may give you a picture of the agency of these two different, harmoniously interacting influences and forces of the radiation field of Christ. The attracting or infrared light of the divine sun touches you at a given moment. Now, when your heart sanctuary is of a special nature, referred to in our philosophy as the nature of a spirit spark entity, meaning that there is a spirit spark atom in your right heart ventricle, then you will react to this attracting light. In fact, you will be obliged to react. The ordinary consciousness does not know of this. The eye will even spontaneously oppose it and give rise to various caricatural utterances. It will, however, together with your whole being, be dragged along in a torrent of reaction. The entire human being will thus be subjected to a whole series of experiences due to the fact of having been struck by the infrared light wave of the divine sun. Millions of men and women in this world personally know these intense disquietings and the inexplicable experiences resulting from them. The fact that man is literally attracted by this light wave explains why the mystical language speaks of calling. this infrared impulse, this attracting light, is indeed a call. You must know, however, that there is both an earthly, natural infrared and an infrared from the divine sun. When God calls you, he touches you with that light. Since it is impossible to separate this attracting light, the divine infrared, from the detaching light, the divine ultraviolet, it is clear that alongside the call, there also arises a dissolution, namely, that whole series of disquietings and experiences. If, when called, one does not feel this disquieting, this continuous inner tumult, one can be sure that it was not the divine infrared by which one was struck. It was the calling of a purely dialectical influence in harmony with the ordinary I being and in no way capable of touching the spirit spark atom. When we are called by the true spiritual sun and follow the call, we simultaneously have to leave something behind because the infrared is always accompanied by the ultraviolet. This is the meaning of the words, "Go, sell what you possess and follow me." This is the meaning of Cornerstone Freemasonry. Whoever wishes to build on the cornerstone, the light of the divine sun, must take into consideration both effects of this light, the destructive and the constructive, both loss and gain. This twofold activity of the divine light is of enormous significance to your life. It is of such absolute significance that all your life's experiences can be explained thereby. Every page in your book of life is written by these influences. It accounts for your particular situation as a pupil, as a worker, as a man or woman, your relationship to others and to society. It is clear that you, as a pupil of the spiritual school, open yourself to mighty activity of the twofold light of God. Just as you reflect ordinary sunlight by a concave mirror and focus is thereby formed by the mirror, so is this school a focus for the light of God. To the extent to which this mirror is more finely polished, gradually yielding a better and better focus, and the whole reflection system is constantly improved step by step, the spirit spark atom within you will be moved, attracted, and called with ever-increasing force. Simultaneously, and this is the second gift of the spiritual school, the state of being moved and calling is explained to you, spelled out as it were. Thus the pupil knows what the infrared divine light requires of him, why it calls him, and what it enables him to do. Enable him? Certainly, and in a direct way, because the infrared light of God is accompanied by the ultraviolet radiation potential. This means that the pupil willing to tread the paths of God discovers that the ultraviolet radiation removes all difficulties and barriers for him at the appropriate moment. This power of Christ clears the way for him to such an extent that the pupil need not trip over a single stone. He who calls you is faithful, as the Bible says, and he will carry it through too. Thus, the call to the path at the same time implies the possibility of treading it. Therefore, the prologue to John's Gospel states with great certainty, "To all who receive him, he gives power to become children of God again." Now you will also understand why those who know about these things can state with certainty. The power of the call is simultaneously the power that clears the way. Let us now consider the case of the pupil who, by virtue of his pupilship and by virtue of his presence in the power field of the school, is attracted and called with great intensity but is not prepared to break, who is not prepared to break with that which must be broken up and is not willing to abandon that which must be relinquished. In spite of all that is said to him, this pupil holds on tenaciously to a great deal of delusion which, in course of many incarnations and by means of thoughts and feelings, has become a supposed reality to him. What happens then? When a true pupil reacts harmoniously to the calling aspect, he likewise reacts harmoniously to the shattering aspect of the intervention of Christ. Then the path will be smooth for him. However, should a pupil react harmoniously to the calling aspect but not to the shattering one, then both influences will have a disharmonious effect in his life. This is obvious. Then a series of difficulties arises, fruitless efforts, endless worries, an inner strife, loneliness and sadness, and the entire pit of vipers in which he is then ensnared. By no means are these afflictions caused by the gnosis. We scourge ourselves with the whip of the dialectical zealot, and in this state there is no one who can help us, for we ourselves must break the scourge of the zealot. An unbounded happiness awaits you. You are called to belong to the people of God, but keep yourself here in pain and misery. Can you imagine a more unintelligent way of life? You should not take these remarks as a sermon or as a call, because you have already been called long, long ago. Our call is but a very faint echo of eternal reality. No, we talk with you about these things because the time has come. The prophesying phase is over. The preparatory stage has passed. We have entered the period of realization. The multitude of those who wish to join this group, and this word is spoken to those who can join, should make haste for highly urgent scientific reasons. We have already mentioned that besides the twofold radiation of the solar field of Christ, there also exists a twofold radiation power of the dialectical nature. The infrared light of this nature is in harmony with the eye, and the ultraviolet light of this nature attacks and breaks up everything that resists the eye. In this way, dialectics develop: formation, flourishing and wasting away, eating only to be eaten. So this natural radiation field exhibits a degenerative development, while the radiation field of Christ causes an expanding regenerative development. This means that the two fields are exposed to a change of vibration in mutual opposition. The distance between these two fields becomes greater and greater. It is clear that a moment will come when an entity existing in one field cannot possibly cross to the other. The difference between the two fields, originally fundamental and qualitative, ultimately becomes so great structurally, and the entities manifesting themselves in the two fields so different biologically, that from a certain moment on, a person belonging to the dialectical field can no longer reconcile himself, link himself to the field of Christ. Such a tragic situation always develops at the end of a period of mankind's history. It is clear that a person called by the field of Christ but clinging to dialectics cannot serve two masters. He will be broken away from the radiation field of Christ. He does it himself. The time has come for this process of breaking away to take shape in the world. A great cleavage is building up. The word Christ will vanish from the lips of all those who do not belong to the field of Christ. They will be unmasked and recognized by all. The remainder, the serious seekers, as yet still have the choice in their own hands, if they but take leave resolutely and promptly of their brokenness and fully entrust themselves to the radiation field of Christ. Then the songs of the ancients will apply to them as well. Though you have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. For he will give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Freemasons of the Rosy Cross, act intelligently, built upon the everlasting cornerstone rejected by the masons of this world, and thus celebrate with us the coming day of the Lord.